this is a little strange, I guess, for a baptism. I preached the charge this morning, and I know Brother Randy's preaching this morning. He's going to be filling in for us Wednesday night. I appreciate him for doing that. And it'd been easy to ask him tonight or ask Brother Brandon, either one of these. Brother Brandon preached the other night. But I can't get this thought off my heart. And 2 Kings chapter 6. It's been a long time since I preached on this. I come up the road. We went out to eat this afternoon. I'm glad I'm poor. Amen. You know, sometimes the Lord lets you go somewhere and spend a lot of money on a meal, and I'm glad I don't eat there all the time. That's all I can say about that. I mean, I enjoy the fellowship. My wife, every time we go to a fancy restaurant and we leave, and Brother Matt, I ate a salad, and I told her, I said, I think I would have rather had a salad from Ryan's. And she smiles. She says, honey, you say it every time we go to a fancy restaurant. They put all this stuff on there I ain't used to. I feel out of place. And I can't even get macaroni and cheese good in a rich restaurant. They put these pepper stuff in there. It didn't even taste good. And I thought, good night. And then you spend, I'm just sharing our afternoon, where you spend about triple for a steak to find out no sides come with. I told Brother Randy, he said, how much was your steak? I said, yeah, but it didn't come with no sides. I had to pay extra $10 to get a side with it, you know. And Brother Randy said, good night, like that. And I said, hey, my wife's worth it once a year, spend $100 on an anniversary meal. That's the way I feel. And I told her this afternoon, and a lot of people can't say this, Sister Nancy, but I told her, I said, she kept saying, honey, I wouldn't pay that, I wouldn't pay that, I wouldn't spend that. I said, you ain't, I am. I said, but when we get done, I said, I believe even us eating high class like this, it's going to be less than a regular meal with all eight of us, since there's just two of us today. And last Sunday it was $110, and today it was $101 for two of us. So it was less, praise the Lord. And but I'm glad I ain't rich. Amen. I won't eat like that all the time. I'm okay with a burger, a salad. I'm okay with just eating just old common food. Pintos and cornbread will do me just fine. Amen. I tell you, you can tell I'm not lacking for needing anything to eat. And God's blessed me. Now, I remember, I'll get in the message here in just a second. I remember, and I may have shared this here while back, but it come on my heart again. There was two families. Brother Tony said something a while ago, but two Tonys over there, and one rich and one poor. But I remember two men talking together, and the boys were standing by, their young boys were standing by, and one of them said, yeah, we was real poor. We was real poor. And the other little boy said, we was po' like it. And he said, what does po' mean? He said, I don't know. I'm going to have to ask my daddy. That's what he always said. We was po'. So he went home and he asked his daddy. He said, daddy, what does po' mean? I mean, everybody else says they're poor, and you said we was po'. He said, son, we couldn't afford the other O and the R. We was really poor. Amen. So, you know, but I'm glad the Bible said the poor you have with you always. Amen. And so if I had a thought tonight above another, it'd be this. Let's borrow an axe. Let's borrow an axe. Amen. Chapter 6 of 2 Kings in verse 1. I want to read just 7 verses of Scripture here. If you stand for the reading of God's Word, I'll try my best tonight, not hold you long. I know we got conference, we got baptism, and the conference will be a little longer than normal, but not longer, a couple minutes, but we got the ordination in there. And so I'll try my best to move along tonight. The Bible said, and the sons of the prophets said unto Elisha, behold now, the place where we dwell with thee is too straight for us. Let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, and take thence every man a beam. Let us make a place there where we may dwell. And he answered, go ye. And one said, be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants. And he answered, I will go. So he went with them. And when they came to Jordan, they cut down wood. But as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water. And he cried and said, alas, master, for it was borrowed. And the man of God said, where fell it? And he showed him the place. And he cut down a stick, cast it in thither, and the iron did swim. Therefore said he, take it up to thee. And he put out his hand and took it up. And I believe that'd be all that we read tonight. You may be seated. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, again tonight for allowing us to be in your house. And Lord, we miss those that's not able to be with us tonight. Pray, Lord, you'd be with Brother DB and our grandmother and others, Lord, tonight that's dealing with sicknesses. And that one in my wife's family, Lord, that young 16-year-old girl, I pray, God, that you'd touch her and give her that she stands in need of. I thank you, Lord, for a good church, Lord, where we can feel the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for good songs tonight. And Lord, I pray that you'd be with our humble song leader. And I'm thankful, Lord, we've got people to step in places to fill in, Lord, when sicknesses hits our home. I'm thankful, Lord, for these other two candidates tonight, Lord, to be baptized. And God, I pray that you'd use these young men wherever they might go in their families and homes and on their jobs. Lord, only you know the path that they'll take. And Lord, we pray, Lord, that something will be done in their lives that help others to see you. Lord, that they'd want to be saved, that they'd want to be a Christian, they'd want to go to church. And Lord, let other people see that you've made a difference in their life. I pray, God, tonight you'd take this message, use it for your honor and your glory. Touch every heart here tonight, feed us all, Lord, including ourselves. And I pray you'd bless Brother Rob this week as he stands on the nights it falls his lot. Bless us, Lord, in the revival. Let us see souls saved. God, I pray, Lord, you bless Brother Eddie there, Lord, at Guide and Light. Lord, just use him, his church might grow and prosper. Continue blessing at Welcome Grove. We feel so humbled, Lord, you've allowed us to be here the time that you have. And I just feel, Lord, honored. And I pray, God, Lord, that you'd just keep touching and putting your hand on this place. I pray, Lord, in everything that's said and done tonight, you'd get all the honor and glory and praise. For it's in Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen and amen. I was noticing here, it's been a while, like I said, since I read this, and opened it up and began reading these verses of Scripture where it said, "And the sons of the prophets said unto Elisha, Behold now, the place where we dwell with thee is too strait for us." Now, the sons of the prophets was that of the prophets of that day that was prophesying. It could have maybe been false prophets, but I believe most of them was trying to prophesy God's word. These was their sons. They had seen something in Elisha like Elisha had seen something in Elijah. I'm glad there's people that we can follow that we can see something in. Amen. I thought about as we have these candidates for baptism, I'm glad they've seen something in some of us and some of you that caused them to want to come and go with us. Amen. Like Moses' father-in-law said. And so we had these sons of the prophets that's following Elisha, and the Bible said, they said, the place where we dwell is too straight for us. That word straight means to be very narrow, or a place that's in between two close objects. But I begin to think about this. They wasn't talking about it was too hard to live, right? Or to do something. That's talking about a place that wasn't big enough. And I thought about this, Brother Mallory. They said, let's go and clear out a place for us. And you know where they chose to go? They chose to go down to Jordan. Amen. Go to clear a place out down by the river. I like that old song says, gonna wait on the Lord down by the riverside. Amen. I'm glad that when they was Brother Tony clearing a place out down around Jordan, they didn't know hundreds of years later that John the Baptist was going to be baptizing on the Jordan banks. Praise the Lord. Baptizing people into repentance to the Lord, and they had cleared a place out for him years earlier. Amen. You know, I don't believe there's people when they built this church at Welcome Grove that they thought 60 years later that we'd still be having good meetings and seeing people saved. I really believe they thought Jesus would have already come back. And when they was trying to clear out the river there, they're cutting down trees. I don't know how many of you ever went and cut wood. Amen. But I have respect for any man that cuts wood for a living. Amen. Even if he ain't living for the Lord, amen, it takes somebody that's not afraid to work a little bit to cut trees. Amen. A lot of you know,
putt wooders, and my father-in-law, he used to putt wood. I remember one year on Mother's Day, man, they'll get a good smile out of this one, I know. She always says, won't you tell something on you? And this is partly stories about me too. But I come home, I said, babe, what do you want for Mother's Day? Every year, you know, I get you something. A lot of times I don't feel like I'm getting you maybe something you could use or need. And she said, I know you're going to think I'm crazy, but I wish you'd buy me a chainsaw. Amen. And I thought, for Mother's Day. Amen. And so I thought, well, I love her. She wants a chainsaw. I can afford it. It'd be cheaper than a diamond ring or a necklace. Amen. I'm going to buy a chainsaw. Amen. Brother Mallard, I went to work that next morning to come home, pulled up in the driveway, and this is what I heard. Now I thought, oh, good. She's already cutting a tree down. Which one is it? Amen. She was getting busy. She wanted something done. Amen. I thought about this. There's no reason at a bar and axe unless you're planning on working. Amen. Why a bar and axe unless you're going to use it? Amen. We ought to have a desire to work for the Lord that we say, let's go get an axe. Amen. And make room for everybody that's coming. Amen. Y'all believe we can fill this house up? I do. Brother Tony, I really do. They went down there, Brother Brandon, they was cutting some trees down. And they asked Elisha, I've heard a lot of people say, when they said that they felt like the sons of the prophets was out of God's will because of what they was asking to do. And they asked permission instead of going. I'm going to tell you what I believe. The man of God, which was Elisha, they asked him if they could go down there, and he said, yeah, go ahead. And Brother Matt, I don't believe he'd have told them to go if there's doing anything wrong. And then one of them boys said, hey, won't you just be content and go down there with us? Which was to say, I know you're busy and you got a lot to do, but we'd like to have your company today. Why don't you go down there with us while we're cutting these trees down? And the Bible said, Elisha said, well, I'll go. Do you know some people just waiting on the invitation? I've had a few preachers call me and say, Brother Jeff, you got any advice on how to try to get people busy and get them working? I said, don't ask them if they'll do it. Tell them that you think they'd be good at that job and give it to them. Amen. You know, nobody feels like they're worthy, Brother Mallard. Nobody feels like they're ready to do a job. I feel this way. Let me just share a couple things with you, and then I'll bring my remarks to a close. I think Mallard Davis is a good teacher. Amen. You'll never hear him say it because he's humble, amen. He wouldn't never say that he was good at doing something, amen. But he's been one of the few that I just couldn't put it on, amen. I've told him before, if it was up to me, he'd be teaching Sunday school, amen. And if we was in a church where we was paying people, he'd be teaching Sunday school if he was on the payroll, amen. I think we ought to put our best foot forward, amen. Preach the best you can. Sing the best you can. Get the best teachers you can. Amen. We're trying to get something done for the Lord, and we need our best. Amen. Y'all with me tonight? Well, they wanted to clear out an area. Brother Tony, they didn't have a tractor like you bought and rented to clear off your property. They had old school. They had barred and axed. They didn't even have a chainsaw. I've thought about this. I'm not going to get in this. It's a different message. But I thought, you know, a lot of people don't know this. But when they built the temple, the Bible said that there was no sound of the ringing, even of the hammer, in the house of the Lord. You know what they did? They did all the work on the outside. And I know that made it harder, Tom. I went to St. Augustine, and I seen a little bit about what I believe they was doing back then. But they would, Brother Brandon, they'd cut pieces that looked like puzzles out there on the outside. And then a man would come in, he started putting it together, and the links would just interlock the two pieces of wood. Now, no wonder they appreciate the house house of the Lord. There's a lot of work in it, went in it. Most people today don't appreciate the house of the Lord. We ain't put any work in it. Jesus did his part, but are we doing our part? Amen. Are we doing our part? Oh, Anthony and Owen, you got your jobs cut out for you. Amen. Getting saved's just the start of it. The part of being saved, once we get saved, is about like going into an interview and the fellow saying, you're hired, you're on the team. That's the start of it. A lot of people think that's the end of it. They'll leave church and say, well, praise the Lord, I got saved. And they'll do nothing else. When I got hired into a company, that's just the starting of what I had to do. Amen. They was down there cutting the trees down. And I could just almost imagine, Brother Tom, one of them took an axe head. I don't know how y'all cut down wood, but I used to cut it sideways. My daddy let me. Amen. I've seen him bounce it a few times and cut his leg. And so I used to sling that thing sideways like a baseball bat, Brother Brandon. And we had some old axe, Brother Mallory. I've had an axe head come off a few times. Now I'll tell you what, it'll ring your bell. You'll know it come off in a few minutes. Amen. I'd be swinging all my mind, and the head would come off, and I'd hit that tree with that piece of wood, and that thing would sling. Amen. And I'd know we had a problem. Not only that, the wood, Brother Tony, it was in my hand, it was a little lighter without that piece of iron on the end. I don't care how strong you are, I don't care how good you are at cutting wood, without the axe head, you're not going to make much progress. And let me just say this, and I'll be done. The Bible said the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. Amen. I don't care how good you can sing, how good you can preach or pray, without the Holy Spirit working in what you're doing, you won't accomplish much. Amen. We've got to have the axe head. It's a picture of the word of God. It had come off. I believe there's a lot of churches today, the axe heads come off. Amen. Thank God they had a man of God nearby. And I ain't talking about me, I'm talking about Elisha. I'm not going to run around and tell everybody I'm a man of God. If I got to tell you I'm a man of God, I ain't much of one in the first place. Amen. Axe head come off, somebody come over. Told Elisha, said, alas, my master, this axe was borrowed axe. We got a problem. The axe head come off. He said, where has it fallen? Where has it fell? He said, it fell over there in the river. Amen. I just sort of like to believe. Praise the Lord. I just don't know about this. But just let me just meditate on this for a minute. Amen. Maybe it was right there where John was going to baptize Jesus. Amen. The axe head fell off there in Jordan. Brother Darrell, I don't know where they're at in Jordan. But I do know they was at a place. And the man of God went down there. And he said, go get you a stick. Amen. And somebody might say, well, what's a stick got to do with it? Does it really matter? You know, a lot of times we won't do what God tells us to do, even when it's something small. And Naaman wanted to be healed of leprosy, yet he looked for something hard to do. But yet when he was asked to do something simple, he wasn't willing to do it. Amen. It's not a hard thing to get saved. It's not a hard thing to get baptized. It's not hard to join the church. It's not hard to work for Jesus. But I'm going to tell you what Jesus said. He said, the field was white to harvest. He said, I looked out and he said, there was a beautiful white field that needed to be worked. He said, but the laborers was few. He said, there was plenty to be done, but I couldn't find nobody was willing to do it. I didn't come tonight to get on to us. This is a baptism, but I'm telling you something. I don't want to be satisfied to baptize 12 and just say we've got the job done. We're just getting started. We're just getting started. I want to fill this house up. I won't have to cut some trees down and make room. Amen. Praise the Lord. Make room for what, preacher? More people. Amen. What does that mean? That means people's getting saved. That means families is getting back together. That means God's doing something. If we can fill the church up, God is moving in people's lives. Amen. Amen. Well, they borrowed an axe and it fell off in there, Brother Matter. And somebody, man of God told him, he said, go get you a little stick. He didn't question the man of God. He didn't say, well, have you ever thought about this? Why don't we do it this way? You got a rope or something, maybe we can fish it out of there, or a little hook or something. That ain't what he said, Brother Brandon. He went and did exactly what the man of God said. He went and got a stick. He said, well, here's a stick. He said, toss it into the water. And he tossed that thing in the water, and the Bible said the axe head started to swim. Tell me that won't cause a shouting meeting. I wish I'd have been there. Praise the Lord. I'm going to tell you something. I get excited to get in the baptism pool, but if somebody dropped an axe head in there and I got in there tonight and all of a sudden I looked down there and the axe head swimming up to the top. It's hard to fathom. No arms, no legs to kick, no dog paddling, Tom. The axe head, iron piece of axe head, 5 to 10 pounds, just swim from the bottom of the Jordan River back up to the top. I wonder what lifted that thing up out of the mud up to the top of the water. I'm glad you asked. The same thing that pulled me up out of the mud and got me up on top of the water. Praise the Lord. It's the Holy Spirit, amen, working through the man of God. I don't care how heavy you are in sins, how heavy you are in burdens. If you'll bring them to the Lord, He'll lift you up, amen. He'll get you out of the circumstances that you're in, and God will work in your life, amen. Woo. We wouldn't know what to do if we seen an axe head float. We don't even know how to act anymore, somebody shouts. I went to a revival. I believe Brother Mallory and him was there. And the Hendersons was singing. And that daughter got to crying and shouting like she did over here at our church. And the special singer, another person was there at night, was supposed to be preaching. He got up and he said, there ain't no need of me preaching tonight. He said, because the real Spirit has come by, and he said, and we've forgotten how to go to meeting. You're talking about knocking the air out of a service real quick. Everybody's quiet. He said, I want them to come back and sing again and see if we can pray and see if God can remind us what it's like to go to meeting again. I've said this for years, and I really believe this, but when the trumpet sounds and the dead in Christ rise first and the graves bust open, that Brother Tony at Coming Our Revival, blonde-headed Brother Tony, some of you don't know him by Tony Norris, that's why I'm trying to mind. He gets red-faced, and he gets up here, and he starts leading that song. He went to church while my Papa for years and years, and when I got old enough to know my Papa pretty well, he was in a nursing home, so I had little memories of going to his house, but most of the memories, I was 13, 14, 15, Brother Brandon, we'd go down to the nursing home, he'd have his overalls on, he'd have that pocket watch, that gold pocket watch, and he'd pull it out, and he'd hit the button, it'd open up, and he'd say, well, it's 3 o'clock or 4 o'clock, y'all got to leave in a few minutes, go back to church, and I remember stuff like that. I went to his funeral, Brother Tony, down there at the Narrow Way off of 61. And I'll never forget, I was probably in my 20s, probably 5 or 10 years before I come here, and that pastor got up there and he said, I remember when old Walter used to get up on the floor and start dancing around and started shouting and swinging his arms. I've never been in a meeting with my papa where Walter was shouting. But when the dead in Christ rise first, Walter's going to be shouting. Some of your mom and daddy used to shout. They're not going to know we've gotten quiet at church. They're going to come out of the ground shouting. I believe your daddy's going to be shouting. I believe Brother Guy's going to be yanking on his royal robe. If you had, he ain't going to have no suit coat on. But he's going to come out ready to go to meeting, amen. What about Jake Cash? Some of these, Brother Cook and Brother Russell. We can go on and on. It wasn't just them. Granny Rice. Some of you didn't even know her. I've had people say probably one of the most godless women they'd ever seen in church. She used to shout. We used to have shouting meeting. Y'all did too, didn't you? All them people that's gone on to be with the Lord, they're going to come up out of the ground and shouting and just carrying on and having meeting. And some of us are going to look around and say, what in the world is going on? And somebody's going to say, we're going to meeting. We've allowed the world and the things of the world, and there ain't nothing wrong with singing beautiful and having talent and doing things decent and in order. But we've got so decent and in order and proper and want everything just fine that we forgot to let our mascara run down our face and let the bobby pins fly. And we don't want to throw a buck because we're afraid it's going to hurt somebody's feelings that helped buy them. Amen? But back then when Brother Harold threw that buck and it went through the ceiling, he's never said, nobody said nothing to him about having to fix the ceiling or buy another book. Amen. You know why? They're still talking about that almost 50 years later, what kind of meeting they had.
Amen.
I don't want to do it for a show, but I want our kids to be able to say, boy, I remember my daddy when he got to shouting. Boy, I remember my mom, she got to testifying. You couldn't hardly hear what she said. Boy, mascara be running down her face. And that's the kind of meetings I want our kids to remember. And we've had some good meetings there, and we're going to have some more.
Amen.
I want to come get a verse of song. Now I'm done.